They've lost 25 transfers since the end of the season. They would owe Harsin $18.3 million if they can't fire him without cause, which is basically what they're trying to do now. They've lost assorted coaches, one of those coaches being Derek Mason, who actually was making 1.5 at Auburn. Now he's making 1.1 million. So he took a $400,000 cut in order to get out of Auburn. So, I mean, the deck stacked against Harsin right now. He's still on vacation. But what you've got is typical Auburn mismanagement within the Board of Trustees and their powerful boosters that, again, is causing them a lot of problems. Look, we know they lost five in a row at the end of the year. There, you can't be proud of that. But Harsin really deserves another year, just to see if he can pull a roster together. And the question is, who would they get to replace him? And, I mean, the names we've heard are Kevin Steele, and I'm not sure why you would get Kevin Steele to replace Brian Harsin, and why he would be an upgrade. Steele was on the Auburn staff, and he was part of a coup, shall we say, to get the Auburn job before Harsin did. But Alan Green, the athletic director, instead hired Harsin. So, I mean, Drew, it's just a one of the most ridiculous circuses that anyone can see, and it's no surprise that, once again, Auburn is its own worst enemy.
I feel like Brian Harsin is not going to want to return from his vacation anytime soon, because it probably only details bad things with this. But I mean, this is a situation that, I mean, I don't even know if there's any truth to this, but I had heard, I had seen that there was a rumor going around that he was having an affair. That goes back to his time at a Boise State. But you also look at some of these transfers detailing him as a coach. I mean, I think it was Lee Hunter was the guy who was saying that that he is a good football coach if you want to win, but he is a terrible person and he treats us like dogs. I mean, that is not a situation that you want to be in at all as a coach.
Well, man, see, here's the other issue here. Harsin, when he came to Auburn, is trying to build them into a physical football team. Pat Dye did that. He got by with it. So what he's done is he's demanded a lot of them, and they aren't interested in doing that. Gus Malzahn was your proverbial player's coach, even though he still lost 4 to 5 games a year on average. So, he stood up, Harsin has, to some of the power brokers. But Auburn people don't like that, and because they don't like that, they want to get rid of him, and there's been probably just about as many players who've come out and said that they supported him. Some of them saying that they wanted a coach, not a friend. So many things going on here that just don't bode well for Auburn.
Yeah, no, they do not. And who's used to say that more players couldn't potentially leave? I remember you saying that there's a thought that Tank Bigsby might end up still bouncing from Auburn, and that fiasco will be figured out here, I'm sure, within the next couple of weeks. Well, possibly ahead of spring football. More college football news. We had touched on USC and Wisconsin being the two teams that Caleb Williams seemed to be down to. Obviously, he has gone to USC. A big deal for Lincoln Riley and his team and trying to build that team at USC. Should USC be favored in Lincoln Riley's first year? And how long do you think it would take for Lincoln Riley to build up USC back to where they would like themselves to be?
It will take a while to rebuild their offensive line and defensive line. That's going to be the key for USC. I mean, now they can play 7-on-7 football now with Williams, meaning that they can throw and catch as well as anybody in the league. But the problem now is it's going to take more than just Williams to get that school back. They have struggled for a while. You've got to rebuild your roster, and that's what he's got in front of him. Williams is a great piece to have in order to do that. And now that Riley is there, he will recruit, no doubt, some of the better quarterbacks around anywhere, and that will pay off. But here's a reality for the Pac-12, Drew, is your best team still is Utah, which, by the way, starts a season at Florida this coming season. And because Utah is a very physical football team with a really good line of scrimmage, and right now they would have an advantage over a USC until USC can be able to get the players they need on the line of scrimmage.
Speaking of the whole college ranks with Auburn, I want to go back to them real quick, but in basketball. So they survive another scare over the weekend against Georgia, a team that has been bottom of the SEC all season long, it seems, but they almost pull it out. Is there any team that is unbeatable? I mean, I feel like this year, or compared to last year, we had Gonzaga, we had UCLA, or we had UCLA, Houston, and Baylor all in the mix, but Baylor and Gonzaga were the two heavyweights that seemed like just destined to face each other. This year, I think even while Auburn is number one in the country, Brent, I don't know if they're necessarily a shoo-in to even be a number one seed at this point. I mean, every team seems to be very beatable in college basketball this year, which I think from a fan's perspective makes for a very interesting March.
And it will. Now, right now, for Auburn, and Auburn has had some really, they've had some very close games, and they have been able to be able to win those games too. But the other thing I think for them is that they've got a humongous game coming up this week with Arkansas, who has played extremely well, and they've got a big game with A&M this weekend. So I think that's the thing that's going to be exciting for them, is they've still got some big games that are certainly on the horizon for them right now. So I mean, they're not flawless. They still struggle. I think with some things, the Georgia game was very evident of that. Yes, that they go, they're at Arkansas coming up. As a matter of fact, that game is tomorrow night. And then they've got A&M this weekend. Game day is going to be there. They've got a awful Vandy team next week. And then Saturday week, they play Florida. Well, that, how big would that be for the Gators? Frankly, who are playing better than they have been. In Tennessee at the end of the month, Auburn at the end of the month got Tennessee. So frankly, big week for Auburn because the schedule that they've got, certainly winnable games of Vandy, Florida, Ole Miss, and Tennessee to round out the rest of the month.
Yeah, as far as the KenPom ratings are concerned, Pomeroy's got them at 7. in their rankings. Another team to touch on real quick is LSU in basketball. They got off to a nice start in conference play. They had the bad loss to Auburn on December 29th. Then they beat Kentucky. They beat Tennessee. They beat Florida. But since then, they've only won one out of their last seven games, and the last few of them haven't been great, losing to Vandy, to Ole Miss, and also to TCU. Where are the Tigers? I mean, it seems like earlier in the year when they got off to that undefeated run, it's like, okay, this team looks legit, and Coach Wade has really got them playing well. But now I think there's some deserved questions about this Tigers team as they've gotten into conference play about how good of a team they actually are.
No one, and I mean no one, feels sorry for Will Wade, Drew.
Correct. I do not either.
That's your reality. This is the worst, basically, time that, that they've had. Now, they've had a lot of injuries. Xavier Pinson, their starting point guard, sprained his knee. And then Darius Days sprained his ankle twice. Eric Gaines has a wrist injury. And shooting guard Brandon Murray has injured his thumb, and that prevents him from almost even catching the ball. Justin Williams, a backup guard, has a toe injury, and they got to give him injections all the time. 4-5, they've got 9 regular season games to go to try to, or 8 now, to stop the bleeding. It's been a very difficult time for Wade, and I tell you, at this point, I don't know how quickly they can be able to come back from that. They're 242nd in the nation in three-point shooting. They're 116th in points scored, 197 in field goals. So you got all that stuff together. They go to A&M tomorrow night, and A&M is a good basketball team. They've got one of these 50-50 games Saturday with Mississippi State. At this point, and on the 23rd, they go to Kentucky, and then they play Missouri. That Missouri can be a real problem too. The Tigers are on a tailspin. I'm not sure they get out of it either.
They're not playing very good basketball right now. And as far as Will Wade is concerned, there's too many adjectives and ways to describe him as to why people really don't feel at all too sorry for him. Brent, I'm going to leave you off with this. So Jacksonville hires Doug Peterson as their head coach. Is this the right move, do you think, for Jacksonville? And can he be the one to help develop Trevor Lawrence to get him to his full capacity of what he could be as an NFL quarterback?
Maybe. I'm not going to. I don't have a lot of faith in them at all. They're just a bad organization. They always have been, basically, except for a couple of years under Tom Coughlin, and it just has not worked. They had like a 2-month. They interviewed Peterson, then they didn't to talk to him again for like 59 days. So the coaching search was just abysmal, frankly, with what they did and didn't do. So they were had another offseason last year. I mean, they may be able to win 5 or 6 games at the most next year, which would be progress for them. Peterson will certainly be different than Urban. I think he'll get along with the media a lot better, and no doubt he'll get along with the players a lot better. I really just take whatever they do, Drew, with a grain of salt. They just have a lot of proving due to the fans that they've got another top draft choice, and what they do with that, who knows? But at this point, that's just kind of what you got. So you know, it as with them, it's always wait and see.
Oh, yeah, of course it is. For your sake, being in the area, and for people's sake, all the Jaguars fans, hopefully it ends up being something that can be positive. Along the fact of the NFL, along that path, I should say, Super Bowl pick, Rams and Bengals. Who are you taking?
I think probably the Rams give you more of the line of scrimmage, but it's hard to go against Joe Burrow right now. I mean, Burrow is just such a different animal, and when he's got a championship on the line, as we saw with LSU, it really is hard to say. And to me, to really go against him. I will go with Cincinnati at this point, and it's a great story for their fans and all that goes along with that too. But I mean if you're a Rams fan, you'd have to be one for life because with the way they move around and how that's worked in their history. But again, it says something that virtually they've got a home game for the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, it does. And as a Bengals fan, that's one of the things that makes me a little bit nervous. I know that they try to say, well, the Rams are the away team, yada yada yada. But still, them not having to fly anywhere and them not having to do anything differently than if they were preparing for a home game, it makes you feel a little bit anxious, I think. But overall, though, the Bengals, I think, to win a playoff game is pretty remarkable in itself. I'm happy with that, and I think it's cool too. Joe Burrow and Matt Stafford both being number one overall picks, SEC quarterbacks. For the SEC, it's a little bit of a good story if you want to be a SEC fan in this one. It really doesn't matter, but Joe Burrow has been absolutely stellar with the Bengals so far.
Yes, no doubt, absolutely.
Well, Brent, as always, appreciate you. You have a fantastic week and enjoy the big game on Sunday, and we'll talk to you again.
Good. Thank you, Drew. Take care.